the Tanwaming group for?
I think flower, the committee, each committee of every village, they organize themselves and sell. Or maybe the Jurong and Bukit Timah district, they organize themselves and sell. Not the whole of Singapore.
Were there any kind of talks given by people from the town or drama talking about this kind of things?
No, no such thing. I think one thing they will be allowed. No, I don't remember anything like that.
Did you know how, you know, for example, if there was flower selling in your village, yeah, how would your father as chairman get the flowers from the... Where would they get the flowers from to sell?
I think they get the flower from the town central committee. They get it from there.
How would they go about collecting the flowers?
When they collect the flower, they decide how many teams to go out to. It's like the present day is the fact also. Tell the flower for your town for you to put the money in the team. Like that.
So would your father send people to the town central committee to get the flowers and the things?
Yes, we have to get that. But everything is sealed, you see. After selling and everything, you have to send that to headquarters to open up.
You mean after selling the flowers, the boxes are sealed?
Yeah. All the thing when you deliver, everything must be sealed properly. It cannot be broken.
What kind of seal?
Paper seal.
What about when to collect money? Did they have a box also and all that?
No. When you go and collect money, it's different. Mm. You have to bring to issue receipt.
To the shopkeepers and villagers?
Yeah, shopkeeper and villagers. You will have to issue a receipt. And when you come back, you know how much. Even that, three or four, they go out with three person or four person like that, going around the village or something like that. Even that, you have to receive a receipt.
Do they have to go to the town to get the money boxes to keep the money when the shopkeepers or the villagers donated this
money? Then they calculate
based
on the receipt.
So after collecting all this money, how would your father or the committee send this money to the headquarters? How would they do that?
I think send the amount sent to them, they issue a receipt to us.
Maybe.
And actually, how they deliver the money to China, we have no idea.
You mean they issue a receipt to you after you send
money? Yeah.
Were there any kind of other activities besides selling flowers, collecting money? Did they sell any other things to raise funds?
I couldn't remember. I don't remember.
You mentioned that when they go out to collect money, they went out in teams of
usually in teams.
Normally, who would be asked to help to collect money? How would your father?
Sometimes my father has to go out also, but he seldom go to the farmers or anything. They just walk down the shop, and then. Some of the shopkeepers, they go to the farmer.
How would your father select the people to help him to collect money?
It's all mostly, most of the committee are the same committee as the school committee. So they always work together. Even the collecting this money is something like collecting the school money also. You go to all these people, all the same people.
You mean the same people who collected the money for the school were being asked to help them to collect money for the fund? So which means these people, you have known them for a long time, they could be trusted?
They know the place. They know the place so that they could bring you round. Without their help, it's very, very difficult. You see, you don't know which house where, this house where, there. Use the man, he can bring you one place to one place, it's very easy.
Normally, how long would it take to collect from the village?
Long time. Sometimes, 2 weeks. Actually, from the farmers or anything. You can't go fast, you see. It's all in the village. You have to walk sometimes half an hour, 15 minutes to go to one house. Mm-hmm. So it may take 2 weeks or so to complete the village.
So what kind of control, was there any kind of control, no? To sort of ensure that the money are collected properly, that nothing was lost?
The receipt is the way they control. So everything you take from them, you have to give a receipt. That's the way to control the money.
So after they've collected, they were all sent to the headquarters.
Yes.
That was the headquarters? Was
there
office?
Or? Actually, no office. This is something like my shop. And if they actually want to have a meeting, or they have to go to the school place for the meeting. And if they want to hand over cases and that, they just bring to the shop and hand over to my father.
Your father's shop? So the people who were involved in helping your father were the same, the villagers themselves?
Yes. Mostly the same people.
How was the relationship like between the committee and that of the town?
I think good, very much very good. Because they all the same thing, right? They got the same feeling to work for China, to donate the money for China. There's no other thing, you see, between them. Right? Only donation money for China like that. At that time, everybody is very willing to work.
As the chairman and being the headquarters, did your father have to go to the other villages in Jurong to ensure that the money all comes to him, the money collected comes to him first before they send it to the town?
No, each got their own committee. They all said direct to headquarters.
But as the chairman, did he have any kind of a control of directing how this committee should run and all?
Actually, no, it's by name on it. Each village, they got their own committee. They got their own chairman, you see. And money matter, all this, they hand over direct to headquarters.
which means they did not, were there any times when the father had to meet with all the other?
Yes, but we had to meet sometimes to, because like when they want to give instruction, this and that, they call up everybody to talk, to discuss. Not much actually, this is name only.
As the chairman, did your father have any assistance to help him?
No. All the committees work together.
Were there any kind of propaganda work that you have to do?
Yes, when you want to go for a donation, you have to have some propaganda or something like that. Make people donate more.
In what form should this kind of propaganda take?
I don't know.
Did your own family contribute to this campaign, collecting money?
Yeah. That's why I remember with that policy. I remember I go up to South Tower once or twice. I think I had helped them to South Tower once or twice. But I don't remember much.
Was the family business and the business of the other shops affected by this kind of campaign going on?
No.
How long did your father remain as chairman of this committee?
Not much, I think. I think this thing was from only one or 2 years, and then the Japanese invade Singapore. Right?
When during the later period when the Japanese were invading Malaya at that time, did this campaign, raising funds and all that, carry on as usual?
No. You see, when the Japanese attack Malaysia or so, people is frightened already. Especially Mr. Tan Kak Kee went away, and Kau Sai Wan also went away. So, more hate already. He left Ming Huang here and me and Chen Hui Chuan. At the time of Tom Ming, I think it's Kau Sai Wan.
So, would you say that the activities were more frequent during the earlier period?
Yeah, 1 year or so. And then after that, people began frightened already when the Japanese invaded Malaysia.
You mean they stopped contributing or?
You see, even the committee, they don't go out and collect all these things, they stop all these things. Money, I think, is difficult to send to China also.
What about do you know whether, there were any kind of records kept of the committee meetings and all that?
Oh, nobody there to keep that record. You see, when the Japanese came to Singapore, all those record people will burn.
They will burn?
They will burn. If they get the record, all the name of the record will suffer.
Did you know who burned the records of the company?
No, everybody burned, you see. Everybody got frightened, you see, when the French come. You see, my father get into trouble, occupation time, because it happened that some body did not destroy employ a photograph of the committee. My father photographs inside and the name inside. That's how they look for our family. They got hold of the photograph. I don't know from where they got it.
So during that period, did you know that did you all know that the Japanese had re-landed in Malaya?
Oh, we didn't know. We moved away. But actually, before the Japanese landed there, our shop already got burned. Got burned already.
During the early period, the very first air raid on Singapore by the Japanese, did you all know about that also?
Pardon?
The first air raid on Singapore,
yeah.
when the Japanese first attacked Singapore, yeah. Did you all know about?
We don't know, yeah. Of course, after the attack, we know that.
So what were your reactions? What happened to your Bukit Timah village itself? Was it affected by the air raid?
Yeah, affected. People flying, buying sundry goods, this and that. The market is so topsy-turvy. People, all things goods, people buying, the price gone up, this and that. Especially thing goods, you see. People try to keep it. Rice also.
When the first air raid was on, fell on Singapore, when the Japanese first attacked Singapore, which area was affected by the bombing, the very first bombing?
I don't remember, I think. But not in Bukit Timah side. I don't know that. No idea.
So when all this happened, when the air raids, when the bombing started, were there any kind of preparations like having air raid shelters or were there these kind of preparations in Bukit Timah?
Yeah. The government look after all these things. They got MAS, they got ARP, all these things. Every shelter also. Some people buy sand to make air raid shelter. We use rice to build air raid shelter. We are rice retailer, so we got rice.
Where did you all build your air raid shelters?
Is it after the bombing?
After the bomb. So where was the shelter in your house itself?
In the shop. Because we stay above the shop. All the families stay in the shop.
What about, do you know what kind of work did these ARP and MAS members did?
MAS is supposed to look after those who get hurt or anything, you see. It's a something like a red cross. The ARP is to warn the people, erect this and that, and afraid to erect, try to help people. All this, that's their job. When the sirens are up, the ARP has to come out and warn the people not to light, to close their light, this and that.
Were you involved in any way?
I was in the MAS. I joined the MAS because when I was in school, I was a St. John Ambulance. I belong to St. John Ambulance, you see. So I had to join the MAS.
How did you get to join the MAS?
Because I happened to be a St. John's member, see. I got the St. John's certificate to look after, the wounded this and that. So they put me in the MAS. I joined, literally, I'm in the MAS in St. John's. Before the war, because there is a St. John's. I'm a member of the St. John's Ambulance. So all the St. John's Ambulance, they transfer to the MAS.
Oh, Was it, did you volunteer for it, or did they just put you into MES?
Of course, we have to ask if we agree. At that time, we cannot say we are not. We have to say yes. Everybody has to volunteer to do something.
So did you join this MES before the war started or after the bombings?
Actually, I was in the Saint John's before the war. It's only after the war they named it MES. I don't know, is it MES or something like that? I think it must be MES.
So when did you join MES? After the bombings have started
Somewhere around before, I think before the bombing, I think. We start by changing the name to MES.
And then you immediately join. So what kind of work did you have to do? Did you have any kind of training practices?
Of course, I had my training already because I am a St. John's man. Because I had passed certain things and I was a sergeant at that time. And every time we have to go on duty, but doing nothing, just sit there. Of course, those new ones, they have to attend classes. Those who are not St. John's member, they have to attend classes.
What kind of classes were conducted for these people?
Right. How to attend a wound. If you got a fracture of hand, how you tie it. A fracture of leg. Wound, all these things, simple things.
All first aid training. What about when you were on duty? What were you supposed to do when you were on duty?
You just sit there only. Nothing else. Talking and this and that.
Did they have a post where you had to report to? Where was it in the village?
In Pei Hwa School. Pei Hwa School is not also in Bukit Timah Village.
You mean there was another school besides Tong Cheng School?
That is Presbyterian or what? Church school. That only built later on. After they built the church there, they have a school there.
When was that?
I think also just before the war.
So your MES post was in Pei Hwa School?
Yeah, Bukit Timah Village.
How many of you were sort of helping in this MES?
I think we got transport, we got MES, we got ARP all together there. About 50 of us in the village.
Were they all young people or?
All young people. I think more than 50. Two shifts would be about 100 people, two shifts. One shift about 50 people. One shift about 50 people.
You mean there was shift duty?
Yeah.
What were the hours like?
If there is no air raid or anything, we are not supposed to go. When there is air raid, then whether it's a practice or it's a real one, we have to go to the post. So up to a certain hour, maybe 6 hours or so, if the thing is not over, not three people will come and you will go away.
Do you remember who was the person in charge of that area?
I think he's dead already. He's Hu Chong Jin or something like that. I don't know, I don't remember, quite long ago. at that time he's much older than me. He's supposed to be a superintendent there.
He was from the village?
No. He was staying in Bukit Timah, third mile. And I think he was a chief special of the new super, you see.
Were there any kind of uniforms and ranks given to the people?
Yes.
What kind of uniforms?
MS, they got their uniform. The ARP, they got their uniform. Then the rank is private, lance corporal, doctor, sergeant, and then assistant superintendent, like this one.
Could you describe the uniforms of these different groups?
I don't know how to describe already.
What about the colors?
I couldn't remember. Though while I'm using it, I don't remember so many years already.
During that time, before the outbreak of war, were you told specifically what were your duties?
Yeah. Our duties is to help those in Germany.
And what about the ARP duty?
I don't know, the ARP, I'm not in that section. I know they look after the air raid, all these things. You see, whenever the air raid, they have to go out the road and check the road, the light, this and that. Whereas we, MAS, we just sit tight to wait for telephone call on them. Our transport, everything is ready. Get ready, any telephone, call them, go out.
So during the first bombing on Singapore, did you have, was the siren on?
Yeah.
Do you remember what time was the siren on? When did you, did you all report for duty?
I don't know. All that thing I don't know, too many years already.
But did you have report for duty?
Yes, we have to report for duty. Because it's not far, my post and my house is not far. I think about few, not even half a mile.
During that first one, that was there any casualties in Bukit Timah village?
No. That's why I say not in our village.
Later on, when there were more air raids, was Bukit Timah area, you know, 7 miles there, affected by all these bombings?
Actually, Bukit Timah was not affected. Only when the Japanese in Johor, then Bukit Timah is affected by shelling. Not by bombing, but by shelling. And my shop was burned by shelling it to the shelf. At that time when they start shelling, the post all finished already. We don't report for duty already. All each go their own way already. When the Japanese are in Johor, each go our own way already.
Before that, before the shelling began, did you have a lot of work to do?
Actually nothing only, name only. We just go there and sit down. Of course for all those new ones, they do learn something about first aid. This is very simple, I mean common one. They learn the very common simple one.
Even during the bombing of Singapore, you did not have to do any first aid? For casualties?
Not in our area, we don't do anything. Maybe in those people's area, like You see, when they pass the bomb, they open up the MAS quota. Then they have to do it. Like my area, Bukit Timah.